Did you know that the Gardener's Workshop offers seed starting supplies? On our site, you'll only find the equipment that we love and use ourselves. It's all flower farmer approved. So visit our online store today at thegardenersworkshop.com. The Gardener's Workshop, turning all thumbs green. Hey everyone, welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop. Today's episode features a takeover of our popular weekly Q&A over on Instagram called Ask a Flower Farmer. This one was hosted by Daniel Shavey of Petal Pickers Flower Company in Greenville, South Carolina. Daniel's a seventh-year flower farmer and an alumnus of most of the Gardener's Workshop's online courses as well. Here, Daniel answers questions on topics such as high tunnel growing, lisianthus, tips for new cut flower growers, hydroponic tulips, and so many more. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy.
Hey everyone, it's Daniel with Petal Pickers. I'm taking over today for Lisa for the Ask a Flower Farmer part of the Gardener's Workshop Farms. I'm gonna give you a little info and background about me and my farm. Our farm is located in Greenville, South Carolina, zone 8A. We grow all kinds of things. We grow annuals, perennials, bulbs, corms, all that stuff. Right now we have our tulips blooming, and we just are at the tail end of growing all of our hydroponic tulips. So we're literally harvesting the last ones of those now. And then out in our field, we have our late selection of tulips that are coming into bloom. We have ranunculus blooming a little ahead of schedule. It's about that time, but we had some really warm temps over the last 2 weeks we got into the mid to upper 70s, and that really jump started all the ranunculus blooming. On the farm, I'm in my greenhouse. This is a little greenhouse that we built about a year ago, and I'm just trying to pan you behind me. Over here, this whole table is full of lisianthus that we successfully grew from seed. So currently, like 10 minutes ago, I was working on building two new high tunnels. We've been working on that over last week and this week. We ordered our tunnels from Atlas. They're in Georgia, and Atlas Greenhouses, and I've been very happy with them. That's who we ordered our greenhouse from. I would recommend that you look for a greenhouse company or high tunnel company near you to save on shipping, and they're located all over the country. But I've been very happy with these, and we're using the greenhouse to take dahlia cuttings and grow stuff from seed, and it's just been a big help on our farm. I've been growing cut flowers for 7 years now. I took Lisa's online courses. I've taken many of those, and I was in her first round of courses in 2018 when I literally did not know what I was doing. I just now, 7 years later, feel like I really have a hang of things, but I started where most of y'all who are watching this started. I had very little knowledge. Me and my husband had bought a farm, and we had different plans. We were just going to grow some stuff for our retail store, and then I fell down the wagon. I found Lisa on Facebook when she was only on Facebook back then doing the lives, and that's kind of what jump started my cut flower career. And here we are. We grow in a lot of high tunnels, so we're a little different than Lisa's farm. We have 10 high tunnels from Farmer's Friend, and now we're building our two larger ones now, like I mentioned, from Atlas. And the reason we have so many is because we focus in on a big volume of a few number of crops. So right now we have 400-foot high tunnels full of ranunculus, and I've been planting them in the same space every year. And the goal of building our new high tunnels is it's we can rotate crops through different spaces, because if you do plant the same plants, flowers, or whatever it is you're growing on a farm in the same location every year, year after year, you're going to start building up or finding some diseases and having pest issues and stuff like that. So that's why we've gone a little tunnel crazy. I see some questions rolling in, and let's get started. Wow, the lisianthus. Top three tips on starting lisianthus from seed. I see a lot of people start them in plug trays. I am also a fan, like Lisa is, of starting seeds in soil blocks. And we actually start all of our Lysiantha seed in soil blocks in a grow room under lights. And we grow our seeds there. We use the smaller typical size soil blocks, and we put one seed per soil block, and I think they start growing after like, it may be 14 days. It takes a maybe it's 2 or 3 weeks, but then we get a high germination rate on them. You just have to be a little patient. And then we grow them in the grow room for 6 full weeks in the soil blocks. After that, we pot them up, and I knew that we were gonna plant our Lysianthus in the high tunnels, which were not built back in November when we started our seed. And so potted them up into 72 count plug trays. So we take the Lysianthus from soil blocks, pot them up into 72s, and they've been growing in here since January. And they're looking really good. I honestly don't use tons of fertilizers and stuff like that. So I have fertilized these with just some generic fertilizer to keep them growing and keep them happy, but they're definitely ready to plant out. I want to show you a tray, but don't they look perfect? These are amazing. And so we actually started this tray of seeds on 10/19, and this is Corelli light pink. So these are looking so good. We also order in Lysianthus plugs because I've tried to grow Lysianthus for a couple years in a row and we had some issues, but I think we got the hang of it now. I'm gonna be honest and say I don't know what's different this year. I think you just have to be patient, keep them well watered without overwatering them, right? You have to find the sweet spot. And we also order in Lysianthus plugs. So we ordered these, I think, through Ball Horticulture. Dave Dowling's my rep. And you can also order plugs through Farmer Bailey as well. And you can also order them from Leo Burby. So there's probably more people than that. But Lysianthus plugs are definitely worth the money. I just like a challenge sometimes. And so I'd ordered a bunch of seed and I decided to plant all the seed. Next question from Heaven Sent Flower Farm. We recently purchased acreage in Hot, Texas. Please give any advice or tips for a budding flower farmer. Okay, you're in Hot, Texas. From what I've heard, dahlias are gonna be really hard for you. So reach out to people around you, and you can grow dahlias. I know Rita, I think she's retired now, but she was a flower farmer down in Houston with Cuts of Color. You may wanna follow her on Instagram and reach out to her if you have questions. Because she was growing in Houston, Texas, which is super humid and really hot all summer. And she would grow dahlias, but she grew them in the winter. So your seasons may be very offset from what you typically see across the country because you are so warm in Texas. Now, if you're in West Texas or more Northern Texas, I know that's a completely different climate. So you just have to kind of No, I'm not an expert, but I do know there's many different climates in Texas because in the north part of the state, you're gonna get still really cold in the winter. So you have to think about that where you're growing, but there's gonna be a lot of flowers and plants you can't grow. If it says that it's zone like 3 to 7 on the plant for its growing zone, I probably wouldn't try to plant it in Texas because I have a feeling it's not gonna do very well. You're gonna wanna focus on the stuff that really loves the heat. So that's gonna be your zinnias, cosmos, gumfrina, amaranth, tons of celosia. You're gonna be able to grow all that really well. I can't remember the name. I think it's Scratch House TX for Texas. That is another account on Instagram, and she grew lots of beautiful Lysianthus last year. So Lysianthus is native to Texas. I'm pretty sure that's where it came from. So start learning about your flowers. And whenever I'm trying to learn which crops to grow, you know, I really focus in on where does it grow naturally? Where is it from? You know, ranunculus is kind of a thing that took me a few seasons to learn how to grow here in South Carolina because its climate where it's native from is the Mediterranean. And during, I think it would be their winters, they're very mild. They don't really freeze that often and they're really dry. So the ranunculus isn't used to sitting in heavy wet clay soil and then getting a lot of rain on top of it. It does not like that at all. And that's why a lot of people have issues with their ranunculus rotting. So how we prevent that and try to provide an artificial climate that it truly wants is we build high tunnels in our field to keep all the rain off, and then that way we can control all the watering and the fertilizing that we do for our ranunculus. It's just going to be important for you to learn what flowers grow well and what don't, and to be honest, start with the cheaper ones while you're learning, and then as you have more time to do more research, you can invest in more expensive bulb crops and stuff like that. Like, you wouldn't want to plant tulips in the ground in hot Texas if you don't have a long enough winter to cool them. So then what you may want to think about doing is artificially cooling your tulips to provide them the correct number of weeks that they need to bloom properly. And there's little tricks to everything so that you can manipulate the plants, but really, depending on where you live, every one of the farms across the United States has its own little microclimate, and you just have to figure out what works through trial and error on your farm. There's really no magic secret until you dial it in, and then you just keep doing that every year. All right, next question. In a small 20 foot by 30 foot arid yard, does it make sense to grow a few interesting flowers for florists opposed to growing a little bit of everything? So 20 feet by 30 feet. It depends on how many florists you're growing to and what size florists you're growing to. If you're going to just a couple florists that you know are going to want to buy from you, I would say, yeah, grow a little bit of everything. Don't grow everything, but pick a few different varieties of crops to carry you through the season that you want to specialize in. And if it's only a small handful of florists, I think what's going to be most important is to really talk to the florist and develop a good relationship with them. Let them know that, hey, you're starting out, but this is something that you're trying to pursue and that you're open to suggestions for what they may be looking to buy. What I've come across with my local florist is that most of them don't know anything about growing flowers. So they have no clue what we can grow for them and what we can't grow. So it takes a couple seasons getting it under your belt, first for you to learn how to grow, and then also having those conversations every week when you deliver your florist flowers, like, is this what you're looking for? Or how did this stuff hold up that I brought to you last week? I know Lisa's mentioned before she had one florist kind of take her under her wing when she first started selling, and I've definitely leaned on my florist too as well. One thing that really helped me get the growing part down was taking Lisa's online courses, taking Dave's online courses, Gretel and Steve's classes, but also joining the ASCFG. That's a national organization for cut flower growers. And that's where I really learned about, like, post-harvest and what stage I should cut my flowers and what temperature I should keep my cooler at. It's a lot of learning your first few years, and it is overwhelming if you start building too fast. If you start a little bit slow, take on one or two florists at a time, hopefully it's a smoother ride. I went really fast and I was very overwhelmed. So now I've got a handle on things and I really enjoy again growing all the cut flowers and everything. It takes a couple seasons though to get it under your belt. So I would say, if you know, I don't know exactly arid summer yard, so I don't know what all you could grow and what you can't grow based off of that. But if you could grow dahlias in the fall, maybe you just start with that and just focus on that. Or in the summer, if you just want to grow zinnias, some gumfrina, celosia, the stuff that really loves the heat and can handle a little bit of drought, maybe I would grow that. And if you're thinking of a perennial to grow, I would try some Autumn Joy sedum, because that's relatively inexpensive and you can propagate it, and then you can have a lot spread around your yard as well. And so it'll be there every year when it starts to bloom and it's ready to harvest in August and September. Next question, how long do you soak your butterfly ranunculus for? So whenever I've ordered corms in the past for anemones and ranunculus, the wholesalers will tell me, with instructions to soak your anemone corms for 12 hours or overnight, and soak your ranunculus corms, I think, for 4 to 6 hours. I always find that's a little long, and so I have great success just soaking my ranunculus for 1 to 2 hours, and then I plant it directly into our high tunnels. We don't really pre-sprout any of the new ranunculus corms that we order in, and that may just be due to our climate being in South Carolina. It's still warm enough to sprout and stuff throughout the winter. But we soak them for 1 to 2 hours, and that seems to be plenty without having to worry about like over soaking them. I've had them before where I soaked them for 4 hours, I pull the bag up and all the legs fall apart, and I think that's what's causing it, is it's just soaked for too long. But I've heard other growers say, oh, we only do that for 2 hours. So I started doing that the last 2 years, and that's really helped me out, and I didn't have a lower germination rate at all. So they don't need to sit in water for a very, very long time, just enough to get them started. Next question, did you dig tuberose each year? So we ordered tuberose bulbs from Dave Dowling about 5 years ago. I planted them in the ground, and they've kept producing every year for us since then. And I decided to move them this year. So we dug all of them up, and oh my goodness, those multiply way more than I thought they were doing. And so we have tons and tons of tuberose. And if you're interested in growing tuberose, we actually have them listed on our website right now for sale at petalpickers.com. You can go order those, and they're ready to ship out. So we've been dividing those over the last couple weeks. And yep, they're listed on our website if you want to try that to grow. I will say tuberose really prefers a hot climate. So that's something y'all could grow in your arid climates or in Texas. But tuberose really needs the heat of the summer. I have a friend who's grown it in Illinois, where they don't really naturally get that hot until the very end of summer, but they planted them in a high tunnel, and that provided extra heat so that the plants did well and they bloomed and they were gorgeous. So that's an option if you're in a colder climate. But tuberose bulbs are like dahlias. They can't freeze. If your ground freezes over winter, you need to make sure that you dig them up every year. So here in South Carolina, our ground does not freeze like that. So I'm able to overwinter dahlias and tuberose in the ground. But I started doing a little research when we decided we were going to sell our tuberose bulbs. And tuberose should be divided about every 2 years. Just even if your ground doesn't freeze, you should dig them up and divide them to give them room. So that you'll get better blooms off of them and they'll be more productive for you. If you're in a cold climate, you do have to dig tuberose every year, and you store them very similarly to how you would store your dahlia tubers. Next question, do you save ranunculus corms each year? I am not the best at saving them so that they do great the following season. I do dig up all of our corms because we need our high tunnel space in the summer to plant another crop. So after the ranunculus is done blooming, we let them go dormant. All the leaves will turn yellow. It's gonna pull all the nutrients back down into the corm. And we dig them up, we leave the dirt on, and then we just re-soak them when it's time to soak again in the fall. You wanna store them somewhere that's warm and dry during the summer. So for us, that's just in our workshop, or you could take it indoors or in a garage. Those would all be great places to store your ranunculus corms over the summer. When we go to replant them, I find that I have about a 50% loss. So I thought I was gonna save some money for a few years in a row and just use all my saved corms and not order as many and new. But since we never seem to have higher percentage than 50%, we make sure that whatever we want to grow now for our crop plans, we order in brand new ranunculus corms, and then our saved corms we'll just plant, and it's kind of for fun. Like whatever happens to that happens, but we aren't going to plant those in our valuable real estate space, like our high tunnels or stuff. We may take a little small section of the farm somewhere that's not as important and build like a little, put some plastic covering over there, maybe build some low tunnels or little low hoops over that crop and just let them grow there. Because the ones, the saved ones like that, you're just going to have so much loss no matter really what you do. I have not found another grower to tell me the secret to saving corms. I know in Steve and Gretel's class, they have a section through the Gardener's Workshop Farm. They have an entire section about saving ranunculus corms. And I tried to do what they did. I didn't have all the same tools and equipment, so I'm sure they're way better at doing it than me. But I did not have great success, so I just make sure to order in new every year. Next question, how do you handle aphids? Right now, I have some of them on ranunculus and don't love using a lot of sprays. Well, you could order in some, I think, ladybugs. If you wanna use beneficial insects, there's probably other beneficial insects to also help control aphids. That's one option. That's gonna be a little more costly. You can take a hose and spray them off, maybe spray them with some Dawn dish soap mixed together in water. And I've heard that that's gonna help dry out the exoskeleton of the aphids, and then they just kind of die off from there. And then you can also use commercial sprays, which you don't wanna use, but that would probably take care of it pretty quickly. If you're really opposed to sprays, but you have a problem, I would maybe look into, there are organic sprays that you can use. And there's different companies that I would just search online to see what works best for you. I can't think of all the different brands off the top of my head for aphids. I've been crossing my fingers. I always look for aphids on my ranunculus and anemones. And as of right now, we do not have them. So, but that could change overnight. So it's definitely, if you're growing ranunculus, you want to watch out for aphids. Next question. Best advice for two gal pals establishing our flower farm this spring. So if you're getting started this spring, you just want to focus on growing stuff that's going to be blooming this summer. Start with growing some zinnias. Matter of fact, the best zinnias I ever grew, ever to this date, was my first year, because we had not amended our soil yet with a lot of compost and stuff to beef it up. And zinnias and cosmos and amaranth, a lot of those summer plants really prefer poor nutrient soil. And the best zinnias I ever grew were the first year. Every year since, they've never been the same. But grow a lot of stuff from seed starting off, because you're not only gonna be learning how to grow flowers, but you're gonna be learning the proper stage of harvest. You're gonna be learning how to hydrate them when they start to wilt. You're gonna be learning marketing for your business and coming up with your logo and maybe building a website. And you're gonna try lots of things that also you may not do again next year. And it's overwhelming, right? But it can be fun if you take it in small bites and pieces. And so that's why, don't try to grow any cool season stuff. That window has passed. Here at our farm right now in South Carolina, we're starting all of our summer annuals. We've been growing sunflowers for weeks and weeks at this point. And so that's probably the first thing I would tell you to grow, is get some zinnia seeds, get some sunflower seeds. You're going to have good success with being able to start those from seed and grow them, and you'll be learning that whole process. And I think that's where I would start. Start scouting out your florist too around you. Maybe do a search on The Knot is a website for wedding florists, if you want to sell to the wedding florist industry. You don't have to. You can sell at a farmer's market. You may want to search and find where your farmer's market is in your city and start attending that. Maybe go on their website and look at applications. If this is your first season, I would not recommend like buying a booth now. I would wait, but maybe just start getting familiar and starting those conversations. You want to make sure you get your business licenses and stuff, and take Lisa's online workshop, because that has a lot of information about starting your flower farming business in it, and that'll really help you out. How did you root your hydroponic tulips? So for our tulips, we make sure they have the proper amount of chill hours. So we built a cooler that we just put our tulips in. We keep it at 41 degrees, and then every variety that we grow, we do a little research on and determine, does it need 14, 15, 16, 17, or 18 weeks of cooling? It's gonna vary per variety in that range. And we place them in our cooler. We pull them out, put them into our prick trays. And then we add water, and we add a little bit of calcium nitrate into our prick trays, and we put them back in the cooler for 3 weeks. And that is when the tulips will start to root. They need 2 to 3 weeks of just rooting. And during that time, the top will start to sprout and your roots will start to sprout into the water. And then you pull them out after those 3 weeks, start growing them. You want to keep them below 65 degrees. And so depending on how cool you grow them, they're going to grow slower. If you grow them closer to 65 degrees, they're going to grow faster, but it should be somewhere around 30 days is when you can expect your tulips to be blooming. Hope that answers your question. I paid a lot of money for that information. And there's probably a little more to it than that. We don't have any deer pressure on our farm because we built a 7.5-foot deer fence. It cost us $15,000. But after 5 years of never being able to grow a sunflower because we have heavy deer pressure, I decided to build a fence. So that's always an option. And we don't really have rodent or mole or vole or gopher or all those little critter damage. I've been very lucky. We have a lot of cats around. I really think that's important. It helps control all that. We have not had any issues, knock on wood, someone for me, because that can be very destructive. But we just have deer pressure, so we built a fence. And the deer spray products work, but man, that takes up a lot of time and a lot of money to keep spraying that. And every time it rains, I think in the long run, if you can build a fence, that's going to be the best thing if you have deer pressure. Okay, what advice would you give to those of us with clay soil? We have like orange clay soil. It's nasty to even look at. It's so orange. So we bring in dump truck loads of compost, and they're all regionally located across the country. Ours is here in South Carolina, a couple hours away, and they will drive up to us. If you're in South Carolina, the compost we get is Humble Acres compost. It's made from chicken manure based, and they blend it with wood and everything and age it out, and it's perfect and ready to use when they come and dump it on the farm. There was another company we used to order from in the Carolinas called Atlas Organics, but I don't think sell like dump truck loads of it anymore. I think they went more into the retail market from COVID and started selling all of their compost to gardeners. But regionally you can find that. Let's see, if you could only grow one type of rose, what would you pick? I don't grow roses, so that's what I pick. And I'm sorry that I don't have a better answer than you for that. They don't naturally want to grow here well without spraying lots of fungicides and chemicals, so I absolutely do not grow roses. There are varieties that are mildew and black spot and all that stuff resistant that I could grow, but unfortunately they're not the colors or the forms that my florist that I sell to for weddings would want to buy. I've never tried to grow roses, and I'm never going to try to grow roses here unless it becomes just a small little passion project of mine, which I don't foresee it because I got thorns and I don't want to get pricked all the time and deal with that. So roses are so easily grown in other parts of the country like California, where they don't have humid summers and stuff, so I let those people grow the roses. But if you're a home gardener and you want to grow roses, there are resources out there. I'm just unfortunately not the person that's going to be able to help you out. All right, next question. Vidalia, Georgia, 8B. Is it too late to dig up and relocate some of my dahlias? You want to do that right now. If you dig them up, you'll already see that they've started to sprout. And especially you being an 8B, I'm pretty sure you might even see them poking up out of the ground. It's not too late. You're going to set it back a couple weeks, but that's not a problem. I think you're early enough in the season. You can totally dig up around the tuber clump, maybe try to get around it a little extra dirt and dig them up. And you can still divide them if you want and then plant them. We don't even plant here in South Carolina all of our dahlias in the ground until the end of June. That's kind of my cutoff. So we like to space out the plantings from mid-April through the end of June. And honestly, the ones I plant in June do the best in September, October. I get the most healthiest plants. They have low pest pressure, we don't have to spray very much at all for chemicals to take care of all the insects. Because if you grow dahlias, you're gonna have pest pressure. Insects love them as much as we do. And so you're gonna have to be proactive on applying something, or you can use organza bags and put one of those around each bloom. On our farm, we have too many plants to do that. So we've tried that, we've done that. It's just, it ends up costing us so much money and labor that we're not really making money. And as a farm that's trying to scale up, there's some things that we have to decide to do on certain crops so that we remain profitable. So we don't use the organza bags on our flowers. I will use them at the very beginning on our Cafe Olé dahlias because we'll still have some Japanese beetles around. But I think the best way to grow healthy dahlias is to figure out the timing and when they're going to bloom their best. And for us, that's when the Japanese beetles are gone and done. And that planting time for us is in June. So that's some valuable information I've learned. Okay, is it easy to sell out of your flowers at a farmer's market? And what are some flowers to grow for it? I've never grown at a flowers market, but we have an amazing flower market and vegetable. It's a farmer's market here in Greenville, South Carolina. So they close off our main street and we have like 100 vendors set up. And if it's a nice day on Saturdays, that the entire downtown Greenville is packed for the farmer's market. So I get really jealous when I see my local flower farming friends there. And I've thought about applying so many times, but we're just a higher production farm and we're selling our flowers across the country because we actually ship our flowers nationwide. And if you would like to send a box of locally grown flowers to anyone you know, we have them on our website right now. So you can check that out at petalpickers.com. And but because we do all of that, which is a lot, I like to recharge on the weekends. I'm still working all day long on Saturday and Sunday on the farm, but that's my time to recharge. If you're going to grow for a farmer's market, sunflowers would be the absolute first thing I grow. I'd have them every week, plant a certain number of trays of seeds every week of the same variety so that you know, like clockwork, how many sunflowers will be blooming for you to take to farmer's market. I think a lot of times we see all the different varieties of sunflowers that we could grow. I say pick one or two and just grow that because every different variety has a little bit different of the days to maturity or the number of days it's gonna take for that to bloom. And if you start doing different varieties, you may one week have all three varieties bloom at the same time and then the next week you have nothing blooming. So you don't wanna do that. You wanna stay very scheduled and pick a day, the same day every week and start the same variety of sunflowers and you will literally have those sunflowers the entire summer and growing season. And Lisa talks a lot about that. Farmers market customers love zinnias. They love the celosia, the cosmos, tuberose, lilies. And so you can grow a lot of stuff like that. I grow a lot of pastels, colors, and whites. And for a farmer's market, what I hear and what I see is I would recommend to grow bright colors. So don't be afraid to grow your reds, yellows, and oranges, along with other colors too. But you can do a lot of brighter colors as opposed to if you're selling a lot to weddings, they're going to want the pastels and the lighter, paler colors for that. So that was fun. Thank you all for joining me today. And check out our farm. Follow us on Instagram at Petal Pickers. And like I said, we're shipping dahlia tubers right now. We're shipping tuberose bulbs. And from now till the end of our growing season, we'll be shipping fresh cut flowers across the country in the lower 48 states. So I hope some of y'all decide to check us out. But y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back. I hope you soaked up some great bits of info there. So I've included some links in the show notes to topics that were mentioned here, including a link to Daniel's social media and the Petal Pickers website. If you're interested in attending an Ask a Flower Farmer Q&A Live, you can find them weekly on our Instagram account each Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. These sessions are normally hosted by Lisa Mason Ziegler, but we do have guest takers over such as this one periodically as well. So I encourage you to check it out. If you like what you're hearing here on the Field and Garden Podcast, we'd love it if you'd tell a friend about us and leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. That's all for me today. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop. I hope you have a great day.